Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 233 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her food. Yeah, you heard me right. Oh my gosh, anything to talk about food. Before we start, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. We look forward to hearing from you. And since it's about food, well, we'll hear a lot from you. I already got that point. All right, it's time for Her. There's a brand new cookbook out there, guys and gals. It's called The Mediterranean Dash Diet. And it's written by our own chef, Abby Gelman. Yes, our regular chef that nutritionist and culinary expert has finally cranked out her first main cookbook, and I can't begin to tell you how great it is. Chef Abby, welcome back to the Her podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here as always.
Oh my gosh, what can I say? Now tell me, what inspired you to go the Mediterranean Dash Diet route?
So this is, well, a couple of things. One, it's kind of generally how I cook all the time. And when I'm recipe testing or developing recipes for anything, I try to kind of stick to this path. And it's for a few reasons. Well, first of all, U.S. News, just for everyone out there listening, U.S. News has made the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet, they're always number one and two for like 10 years in a row now. So both of them focus on a plant-based lifestyle, which doesn't mean vegan or only plants. It just means a majority of your foods are coming from plants, with a minority, so maybe 70%, let's say, plant-based, and about 25 to 30% could be from an animal-based, like yogurt, dairy situation, or a lot of seafood. And both diets work with less sodium and a lot more herbs and spices and a whole food approach. So you're trying to cook, you're trying to use whole foods closer to their natural state, which generally is a better flavor, I think, and also better for us health-wise.
All right. Now, everyone out there, in case you don't know what DASH actually stands for, it wasn't like you're supposed to dash to the Mediterranean. On the other hand, that's kind of a cool idea, just as it is. just saying. So DASH stands for Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension. And actually, science has shown, these are published articles in peer-reviewed journals, that the DASH combination diet has been shown to decrease the blood pressure of people who have issues with hypertension and helps prevent and control high blood pressure. And it's rich in fruit and vegetables, low-fat dairy items, and low in saturated and total fat. So that's right, kind of where the DASH comes from, just to kind of put it all together. So you're just like a little show-off here, aren't you, Chef Abby,
yeah,
knowing that U.S. News was like right behind you, you know, saying, yeah, we agree with you. Rock on with your bad self, you know, say the least.
Well, and like, why separate them? Let's combine them into one. It's only more delicious, right?
Now, I'm going to throw something up at you. Okay. So everyone and his brother and sister and children and dogs and wallpaper and I don't know, everyone's doing intermittent fasting. And let's just go to the most credible form of intermittent fasting, the one that has the most science behind it, and that's the one in which we're doing what the scientists call time-restricted feeding, but it's actually, you know, for consumers, it's just living by the clock, the circadian natural biorhythm of your body. So let's just say I'm going to eat for 10 hours, during the 10 hours, and I'm not going to eat for 14. So
okay.
People now say, well, what do I eat during that time? So your dietary intake, what you're talking about in the cookbook, can fit into that quite nicely, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the great thing about whole foods and having like a whole piece of fruit versus, you know, processed juice or something like that is when you're eating a whole food, you're going to get the fat, the fiber, the protein, the complex carbohydrates, and that makes you fuller, you know, in addition to all of the wonderful vitamins and nutrients you're getting on top of it. So if you're eating in a 10-hour window, you know, it's very, very easy to have, you know, it depends on how you want to eat. It's very easy to have breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's very easy to have smaller, you know, smaller portions and eat four times during that period. It's really simple to kind of mix and match your way through the day, but while having a very balanced plate every time that you eat.
Okay. Now I just, wait a minute. I'm hearing it now. It's a lot of whining from people who are saying, but we have no time to cook. This is all very nice, but you know, I'm up to my collective ovaries in overcommitments, and I can't get anything done. So here we are, you know, kneeling at your feet, begging you for help. Okay, take us through a day.
How do we take control of our kitchen?
Right off the bat. What do you do?
So the book itself, first of all, has 100 recipes, and I want to say 75% of them are 30 minutes or less. So that alone should perk up everybody's ears. Like, this can happen. I don't want to spend all day in the kitchen too, and I'm a chef. So there's a lot of ways to get through the day that have you minimal cooking time or essentially like none at all, really. I'll just prep and then you have all your meals. So an easy breakfast could be a bowl of plain yogurt, Greek yogurt, regular yogurt, whatever you like. You put in a handful of nuts, a handful of whatever fruit you like, and you're done, right? Like, that's your breakfast. It has good fat. It has good protein and good complex carbohydrates. It'll taste good. It'll keep you full for a while. And that takes no time at all. You can also take all those things and throw them into a blender and then drink it as a smoothie on the go, right? Like, if you want to take it and walk out the door. You can also, the night before you go to bed, you can put a bunch of oats. We call it overnight oats. It's really popular right now. It's a great on the go. You take kefir or almond milk or cow's milk, whatever you like, that's a little bit of a thinner consistency than yogurt. You put some rolled oats in there. You can cut up any kind of fruit that you like and put it in there. You could put chia seeds in there. And you put it all in the fridge, mix it together, put it in the fridge overnight. And then when you wake up, the oats have essentially softened in the liquid. And then that's your breakfast. You have everything you need there in one container. You can grab it and go. Or it's ready for you to eat before you go to work.
Keep going because we're all desperate.
So lunch. Lunch. It's winter now, so a lot of people want soup and stew. You can take your crock pot, your slow cooker, or your Instant Pot. Everybody loves that now. You go to the market. You have a bunch of pre-cut up vegetables, so you don't even have to prep them if you don't want to. You throw everything into the crock pot with maybe a bag of dried beans and some whatever spices you like. You put in dried basil, you can put in dried parsley, dried rosemary, whatever you like, salt, pepper, put some vegetable broth in there, and then you go to sleep, you turn it on, go to sleep, you wake up in the morning, you have your lunch ready to go, and it's like a vegetable bean soup. Done. You can also get a bunch of vegetables cut up. You can buy frozen or pre-cooked grains. So you can get brown rice, quinoa, farro. Really, at most grocery stores these days, you can find everything already cooked. All you have to do is heat it in the microwave or thaw it out in the fridge. So you throw a bunch of vegetables in a bowl with some grain. You get a can of tuna, can of salmon, and then a little salad dressing. There's your lunch. Another really easy, simple way. Snacks, same thing. You can make your own hummus by putting beans. It could be chickpeas. It could be white beans. It could be black beans. It could be lentils, anything you like, into the food processor or the blender with a little olive oil, lemon juice, salt, pepper. You have your own hummus. And then you can buy pre-cut up vegetables, or you have a banana and a handful of walnuts. That's also a great snack. So now we've got two meals and a snack without you really having to do a whole lot of anything, right? Do you think?
Well, you know, the funny part of this, I'm sitting here listening to this, and Abby, you know where I'm going to go. And it's like, oh, my God. Now, here comes the second wine. And that wine, yeah. I didn't go to the grocery store. And I didn't, you know, okay. I didn't plan. I don't have any fixings. And it's a pain in the, you know what, and it's work.
Okay.
And, so help people get through this little thing.
Well, here's what you should do. What everyone listening should have on hand at all times. So make a list. Just make sure that you have these five things and you'll always have food. So first is frozen fruit and frozen vegetables. Those last a really long time. They are packaged at their peak. So there's no loss in nutrition if you get frozen fruits and vegetables. And in a lot of cases, they might have more nutrition than a fresh vegetable or a piece of fruit. And they taste good because they're packaged when they're at their peak ripeness, right? So if you always have a bag of frozen broccoli, a bag of frozen berries, whatever fruit and vegetables you like, that you have your vegetable component or your fruit component always available to you. The other thing is canned goods. So canned protein like tuna or salmon. You can get skinless, boneless tuna and salmon easily now, and they're high quality and not that expensive. You always have that on hand. I also like sardines a lot, smoked sardines, smoked trout. If you like those type of things, you can keep those around in a can as well. You can also have canned beans and lentils. So you don't need to make beans and lentils from dried. And I know that can be intimidating for people. So just go out and buy cans of beans. You can get them low or no sodium. So if you always have those items, you can always make a meal. It's as easy as that. So if you
I love it because they're basics. You know? They're absolute basics. Yeah. I don't think, you know, honestly, I think we make a lot of assumptions that people actually do a lot of cooking out there, or they even learned in the first place. And, you know, that's kind of sad, but there it is. And so I think we have to kind of kick back and say, well, let's start with like ridiculous basics. Ridiculous. Now, this is in your book though.
Yeah, it's all in my book. And the way that grocery stores are now too, it's so easy to get things that are pre-cut and ready for us to just dump in to our meal, whatever it happens to be. So even if it's like you run out to get a rotisserie chicken and you have frozen vegetables and you have maybe some frozen grains, you're done. That you can whip, you know, put everything into a pot and you have dinner. And I know it's me saying this and people get intimidated, but if you learn how to, you know, do one thing, like cook a pot of rice, and now with Instant Pots and pressure cooker functions on those, it's becoming a lot more accessible for people to do certain things because they really can just dump it in there and turn it on and walk away. And if you're able to have a pot of rice, then you can eat every day. You just portion it out over the day. You really don't have to spend hours chopping or sauteing or doing a lot of cooking. It's easier now than it ever has been before to get food on the table for yourself or your family in less than a half hour. Then it tastes good and can be healthy too.
Okay, now how about some things that you should be equipment that you need around the kitchen, so you don't have to go out and buy out Williams Sonoma Serla table. Instead, mm-hmm. what are some like the total basics? You know, people say, oh, I want to have a crock pot or, you know, something that they can, what? I mean, steamers, what? Let's just go right down like some real simple, fairly cost-effective basics.
Okay. Well, a baking sheet. So just like some people call it a cookie sheet, I would call it like a rimmed baking sheet. And all you have to do on those, you can do a sheet pan meal. You can put pieces of chicken and cut up broccoli, for example, all on the same sheet pan with a little olive oil, salt and pepper, goes into the oven. 30 minutes later, you have dinner. You can also just put vegetables on there and pop those in the oven. So a sheet pan is very versatile and useful. Roasting might take about 30 to 40 minutes overall, but your hands-on time can be 5 minutes or less, depending on what you're putting on there. A regular pot that will fit, like if you're cooking a pound of pasta or you're cooking a grain, so something on the, of that size, you can also make soup in there. And then maybe a smaller saucepan if you are someone who wants to like boil a couple eggs at a time, but that's probably not even necessary. And then some sort of skillet where you could cook eggs, or if you're going to saute vegetables or saute some chicken or ground meat or something like that. That's like the things that I would say you should have. Everything else on top of that just depends on what you want to do. But those are the basics with like a spatula and some wooden spoons, measuring cups.
Excellent.
That kind of thing. Yeah, you don't need a lot of stuff. A good knife and a cutting board, you know.
I love it. I just absolutely love it. You know, and again, who tells you this? You know, Chef Abby, in many respects, you're somebody's mother out there. You know, it's like you're teaching this person how to do these things that, you know, if mothers didn't currently have 35 jobs, 1,800 responsibilities and obligations, they'd be more than happy to sit down and teach you some cooking, you know, basic essentials. But what the heck, you know? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
All right. So what's a... share with us a recipe. I want to like get everyone out there all savoring this. What's your really cool bombshell recipe for something that is like a ridiculously wonderful treat? What's a good treat?
Like a dessert treat?
Heck yeah.
All right. Well, here's my favorite one because I'll tell you the one that came first to mind because I love it so much. Ricotta cheese. I usually see it in savory applications like in manicotti or other things like that, or lasagna, but why can't it be sweet, right? It's a fairly neutral flavored soft cheese. So what I like to do is take ricotta cheese and put some honey or maple syrup in it, and then you whip it. And then if you are so inclined, you give everyone a little portion of, you know, like a half cup portion of the sweetened ricotta. So it's kind of like whipped cream, except it's ricotta. So it's much less fat and still tastes delicious and is super creamy. And you can pour a little espresso or coffee on top of that. You can put chocolate chips on there, or you can put fruit on there. And that's like a really nice sweet treat. And you have barely any added sugar in that.
I love it. I love it. Okay. What can someone have for the morning? Someone who's terrified of having like bread or a bread-like thing. What's legal?
Well, have you heard of eggs in a hole? Do you know what that is?
Yes. Tell everyone.
Okay. So eggs in a hole is typically a piece of bread that a circle has been cut out of in the middle. And you put the egg on the griddle, and then you crack an egg in the, or you put the bread with a hole in the taken out of the middle, and you put that on a griddle, and then you crack an egg in the middle of it, and then you end up flipping the egg over, so it looks like a piece of bread with an egg in the middle. So in my book, and one thing that I do at home all the time is I take a pepper instead, and then I just cut the pepper straight through. You don't like it, so you're going to have a whole pepper round, if that makes sense. So like through the side of the pepper, so that you have a pepper circle, and then you just put that on your pan and you crack the egg into the middle of it, and then you have kind of like this cute little circular fried egg with a pepper around it.
I love it. Okay, so already I'm like savoring it. How about muffins? You know how that thing is, you pass by your barista and all you want to do is say, excuse me, can I have a cappuccino and the entire first row of pastries?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right, so muffins, so what's your favorite?
I really like, well, first, mini muffins. So you don't need those big ones that they tend to sell.
Oh, you mean the 300 pounders?
Store.
Those?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Those are gigantic. They're like as big as my head. I like mini muffins. And then I will do things with like almond flour, which you can purchase. It's gluten-free. So I'll make little ones that have, you know, like a regular muffin with egg and almond meal and that kind of thing in it, and then some blueberries mixed in, and then you bake them, and they're little, but it's like a perfect 2-bite snack breakfast. You know, like it's a little bit sweet because there's a touch of honey in there, but it's not pushing you over the edge, and it's got a lot of great protein in it because it's got the almond. It's made with almond meal.
Oh my gosh, I just so love that. And you know, this gluten thing, this whole issue of gluten, what I have now understood by talking to culinary scientists, et cetera, was that a million years ago when the ancient grains were occurring, as it were, that the level of gluten so many years ago was actually quite low. And so there really wasn't all of this gluten sensitivity and all the rest of it. But gluten has increased in volume, as it were, with so many bread-like products today. And that seems to be really triggering a lot of this issue. And so, wow, there's been, no wonder there's such complaints about feeling not so great after you've had gluten type food. However, on the other hand, there are some really great bread recipes. Do you address this? Because one of my most favorite of all, I was shocked to find, is actually available at Quotidien, you know, the national.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a full seeded bread. It's just seeds.
Delicious.
And it has no gluten, and it's to die for. It weighs, I think, more than I do. It's close. And I seriously, I put it in the freezer and the refrigerator lasts forever. And it is just the best. So talk to me about breads for just a second.
I'm pro bread generally, but just like everything else, in moderation and choosing the right bread. So like the one you're talking about sounds delicious. If you are not celiac disease or not gluten sensitive and you can eat regular bread, I always suggest, you know, finding one at a bakery or getting the one that has the smallest list of ingredients and is really homemade bread. Just, you know, it's hard to make it yourself, but you can certainly buy it at the bakery and get it. It's only a handful of ingredients, really. So it's high quality flour. You can get really great whole wheat varieties with nuts and seeds and all sorts of things going on. And if you, like, my favorite visual is if you take a piece of high quality bread, whole wheat flour, maybe has some nuts and seeds in there, and then you take a piece of something that's like processed white flour. You put them each in a bowl of water. Very quickly, the white processed flour is going to disintegrate. On the other hand, the other one that is a hearty piece of bread, you can pick the whole thing up after a minute and it still is intact, even though it's been soaking in water. So that's what's happening in your body. So you want the bread or the food that has more heft to it. It has more fiber and vitamins and nutrients because your body will have to work to break it down. And then it's giving you all those valuable things at the same time. And it doesn't cause your blood sugar to spike.
I completely agree. And you know, that's one of the reasons why having something delightfully populated by tons of wonderful nuts and seeds is just really the way to go. Everyone, I want you to know I'm talking to Chef Abby Gellman, G-E-L-L-M-A-N. And Chef Abby is our go-to culinary nutritionist. That's right. She is both a registered dietitian, master's level in nutrition, as well as a certified chef, all in one. And we love her. She is the best. And she is the author of her new cookbook, which is just ridiculously good. It's called Mediterranean Dash. Run out, dash, and get it right now. What's the best website for you, Abby, for everyone to learn more about your wonderful work?
You can find me on culinarynutritioncuisine.com and soon to be also chefabbygellman.com. But there's all my videos. I also have a YouTube channel as well, but all my videos and recipes and articles about a number of different culinary nutrition things can all be found there.
And you can also see her cooking alongside her gorgeous, ridiculously talented daughter. Oh my gosh, if that's not inspiring to grab your kids and cook, I don't know what is. Abby, thank you so much for being on the Her Podcast once again.
Thanks for having me.
Yay, and keep cooking, kiddo. We love it. And everyone out there, run on over to iTunes right now and rate and review the show because I want to hear what you have to say about it and grab that cookbook. Hey, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD.